Hello and welcome for our podcast. I'm Kendra and I'm joined with
Gabriella,
Christina,
and Gabrielle.
So today we're going to be talking about our reflection about the film that we were shown 12 Years a Slave. Brief summary is that this film is focused on a free man named Solomon Northup who is abducted by two men who claim to admire his musical talents. He's then drugged and sold into slavery, where he encounters several masters and highlight the different forms of abuse. This film continues to follow the relationship Solomon builds with the slaves he works with and the emotional damage he has endured. Solomon takes a chance with a friendly northerner for his last shot at freedom, when he is ultimately saved by a friend and reunited with his grown children and aged wife.
In terms of the cinematography, the film was extremely raw and graphic. It did a great job of depicting the horrors of slavery to a modern audience. Director Steve McQueen did a brilliant job at taking Solomon Northup's memoir and turning it into a predominantly accurate film.
Okay, so without further ado, I think I'm just going to get started. So, social class. That was a really prominent thing just in the entire chapter when I'm talking, you know, when reading, doing our ratings nightly and watching the film. We saw the clear division between wealthy white, poor white, and slaves, and how it was the North versus South as well. And I think there was a really deep connection with race, mm-hmm. and the difference between white and like why seeing in white and black rather than in economic, where typically it was the economic way.
In terms of race, yeah, sorry. The use of the N-word was constant throughout the film, and that shows just how times were different and just how it was used as a detrimental force towards slaves to dehumanize them and just to break their morale. The slaves were forced to use that term when referring to themselves, and it was just eerie, yeah. How it was, we got used to it over time.
Yeah. I totally agree, though, dehumanizing. Gabby, do you want to maybe tap into dehumanizing? Those are your notes primarily.
Yeah. So Solomon is first initially stripped of his identity when he is forced to change his name. He has to go by the name Platt. And when he first arrives, his slave owner repeats to him over and over again, you're a slave, like forcing this identity upon mm-hmm. him. And also when the slaves are being sold at these auctions, they are only viewed for their physicality. Emotion doesn't come into play, their family is disregarded, they're often separated from their loved ones, and mm-hmm. it's a really traumatic process.
Yeah, even when they were being, Solomon was playing the violin, I remember, and when his first master was purchasing the slaves, they were just stripped naked. I can't imagine the embarrassment today, like, you know, it's a common thing where somebody sees you naked, you don't want to be seen naked.
Yes.
How it's just like you get so like it's just embarrassing, and it like makes you. I can imagine being forced to do that would just make me feel so uncomfortable and so forced. I can't wrap my head around it.
And along with dehumanization, it was very surprising how religion was actually used to both dehumanize the slaves, but yet
yeah.
give them hope, depending on who was telling them.
It was also used to justify behaviors
yes.
of masters, which I think is also really important.
Solomon's first master, Ford, used the Bible in a positive way. He used it to give them hope and basically said that we were all God's children and we all have rights and we should all love each other, but he was still a slave owner, which was kind of confusing because obviously if you believe that you should not own slaves.
Yeah.
But the second master used it in a more detrimental way to the slaves' morale. Like he quoted Luke 12:47, which is, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. That was his way of justifying the way he treated the slaves. By whipping them, basically, and just his way of justifying it and proving himself correct.
And I think this is also could be a connection to the kings and queens back then, like the divine right of queens. So it was like an authority from God that they can rule over everyone, and it just shows the power that they were given. And it's just like the slave owners and the slaves, they had so much power over these people, and it was extremely wrong.
Yes, I agree. So I'm going to touch back kind of into using different things for dehumanization and just tap into abuse. I think, obviously, just the readings, the things we've been taught since we were in fifth grade, the film especially, it shows raw and natural abuse. And I think that there are different levels of abuse. I think a lot of it was verbal, clearly, saying the N-word casually, just doing horrible things, forcing them to do horrible things, physical, the whipping, the beating. And then I think another added thing, specifically just for women, sexual. I think I want to tap into the female representation, gender, and even representation, obviously, like, with Patsy, Mrs. Shaw, and then
Eliza,
you see that they're all in different stages of the same process. Mm-hmm. And I think it was...
It really showed how many types of women there were back then in terms of social class.
And, like, their reactions to what is happening. Mm-hmm.
And even that really brutal scene where Patsy is getting raped, and you see how sex is used as a weapon. And I think that sex should not be used as a weapon. Sex should be used, you know, for pleasure, for reproducing. I think those are the purposes that you connect sex with. And the fact that it was used against her, to hurt her, as another form of abuse, just really broke my heart to see that scene. The raw friendship between Patsy and Solomon, I think, was also a really important scene to watch when he's actually getting saved. Mm-hmm. And she falls. She's just sitting there weeping because I think he was also, like, a comfort.
Yeah.
He was just comforting to have around when she was put in that situation where she was constantly being abused, and she even asked him to kill him, to kill her, and he couldn't.
Solomon was the only person there, basically, who ever showed her any kindness of anything.
Yeah, and, it just shows now that she has no one after he leaves.
And it really...
It's a heartbreaking thing to watch.
Because he's leaving, she loses all hope that she will ever leave.
So now that we're talking about Solomon, I think just to, you know, kind of wrap up the podcast, the ending. Does anyone want to tap into the ending, maybe? Mm-hmm.
So as he's riding away, we witness the passage of time. His hair is starting to get gray, and it shows, like, he's been in slavery for 12 years, and now he's returning back to normal life, and he's having trouble fitting in because everything has gone on without him, and nothing can ever be the same as it was before.
Yeah, I can't imagine going from a point in your life where it's really, really, everything's going well, you're a female, and then you're a slave for 12 years, and then you're expected to kind of mold back into society.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. And, like, when he comes back, all of his children are older, and it just shows how much he missed out on life because
of what happened to him.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that about wraps up our podcast.
Yep.
Thank you for listening.